G'day, this is Mark Pesci, and welcome to This Week in Startups Australia. Across 12 years, This Week in Startups Australia has charted the growth of Australia's startup ecosystem and beyond. On this episode, we take a look at a breakout startup working in one of the most highly regulated areas of the economy, telecommunications. What does it take to get a startup going when facing massive incumbents, hyperactive regulators, and needy customers? We'll learn all that on this episode of This Week in Startups Australia. At least once or twice a year, I leave Australia. I go overseas. I spent a month in the USA this year. When I do, there's always this little ritual. I make sure I have time and space on my flight to pop the SIM out of my smartphone and pop a new SIM in. On the last trip, I decided to go very fancy. I got myself an eSIM. They're meant to be really wonderful. You can have an infinite number of them in your iPhone. But really, all of the software on my phone is geared around one number. That's just, you know, it's because that's the way phones were originally developed. And when there's more than one number in the phone, the apps get confused. And I'm not quite sure my phone is completely back to baseline 3 months after I returned. Is there an easier way here? I need to use my phone wherever I go. I need a number where people can reach me. What's the solution? Well, our next guest reckons he's got that. Let me welcome to Twista Scott King, founder and CEO of ZapMe. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Mark. Thanks very much for having me. Really appreciate it.
All right. So how are you going to solve my problem for me? What is ZapMe?
Yeah, well, firstly, I'll give you the overview. ZapMe, by core, by nature, is a communication tool. And that's means whether you're using a phone number or whether you're using data or whether you want to be in the social world of community and communication. So overall, ZapMe is a communication tool. But more importantly, it is a global borderless platform, meaning that when you have a number or have data or have your social communication, you can be anywhere in the world at any time, and then it's none of that, none of those surprising fees that seem to grab you as telecommunication companies love to ping you.
All right, how is that possible?
Yeah, well, it's actually interesting. What you just said then was about getting an eSIM and getting a phone number when you're overseas. Well, actually, ZapMe's tech stack is completely different, meaning that you actually don't need an eSIM for another phone number. So you can have multiple phone numbers in countries and travel the world and have those numbers work anywhere and instantly without turning them on or turning them off, or as you said, putting an eSIM in or putting a SIM card in or having to embed an eSIM. We actually allow you to have multiple numbers, and you can travel and do whatever you like. And anyone that you give that number to, they can call you. Doesn't matter what country you are in around the world. And you do not have to go and purchase eSIMs. eSIMs are just for the data side. So if you do travel to another country and you want some data, well, then of course you can use ZapMe data as well. But the exciting part about ZapMe and why we're different from everyone else is that you can purchase a phone number without an eSIM, because of the way we've built it.
So when I get off the plane to America at the end of December this year, which I will because I'll be going to CES, I could just turn the phone on and my friends would have an American number where they could all reach me?
Correct. And the nice part is that you don't have to worry about remembering to tell them that you're traveling or remembering to tell them where you are. That number will work. And more importantly, that if they're calling you from USA to a USA number, it's a local call. Now, you could be in Africa, and it's still a local call for them, and it's still a local call from you. And you're not getting charged international roaming fees or international charges, which is why we're completely borderless.
So just in my case, because I'm a Telstra customer here in Australia, does that mean when I'm using my phone there, I'm still on the Telstra the daily plan where they charge me $5 or $10 a day, but that all of the American calls are still going to end up coming to that number.
That's correct. So if you're a Telstra customer and you buy a Zap Me number, for example, and you go to America, Africa, doesn't matter where you go, that number will be able to be called, and you can use that number for calling. So you're not using your Telstra number, you're using a Zap Me number. It is a mobile number that is global and borderless.
All right. What was your journey to this? How, do you have deep expertise in telecoms and in the phone network and in all of this stuff?
I think I have deep expertise in solving problems. I figured that out in my life. So it happened where I ended up with half a dozen SIM cards taped to my passport because I was doing business overseas in Europe, and I had a Swedish, a Danish, a Switzerland, an English, a Russian number, all a SIM card taped to my passport. And it was at that point I thought, well, wait a second, why is it that there in this day and age, in 2025, we don't have a global telecommunications company, meaning that I can have all those numbers in one application and always be live with them instead of turning them on, turning them off. And it was a bit of a COVID thing, actually, because when COVID happened, if you weren't in that country, you couldn't use that number. Whereas ZapMe, it doesn't matter where you are, you can use those numbers. And that was the genesis of the story.
So how did you get going? I mean, you have the wild idea, but now you actually have an implementation. What was the path there?
Yeah, the first one was very good software coders. So the first step was to see, could it even be possible to aggregate numbers from around the world, have them transfer through a server system and a network system, and for it to work. And so that was the testing ground. And that took roughly about a year and a half to build it out to where we were confident that it didn't matter where you were, what you're doing, it was one cost, one number, one globe, or one application, I guess. So it took about a year and a half, and that was the beginning of the journey in ZapMe.
So you're integrating then and messaging with all of the telecom systems.
Yeah, correct. In the Web 2 world, we've got actually a Web 2 and a Web 3 world application. In the Web 2 world, correct. So we use the networks around the world, but we've also built a bit of a transfer system. So for example, if you, Mark, are on a cruise ship 500 nautical miles out in the middle of the ocean, and I want to phone you on the number that you gave me, I can do that. So if I call from Australia, it'll hit the Australia, hit the Telstra, go to the satellites, hit the cruise ship Wi-Fi, turn into Wi-Fi, a VoIP call, and then phone you on your number on that cruise ship. So we do a bit of this as well.
So I don't have to be using cruise ship Wi-Fi is notoriously expensive. So I'm using the really expensive cruise ship Wi-Fi, but I don't have to have a mobile signal. I don't have to be connected to the mobile broadband network.
Correct. That's right. And same in the airline. So you can be on the flight 40,000 feet in the air, or out there 500 nautical miles in the ocean. So we do a combination of what's called PTSN and also VoIP. So it moves. We usually PTSN to PTSN, which is network to network. But if you happen to be out in the cruise ship, or you happen to be up in the airline, we can do that conversion.
All right. I got to ask you, is it hard to spin up a telecom startup?
It's very hard. I think the hardest part is, one, making sure people understand it. Yeah. You know, like, in other words, I think people have a hard time wrapping their head around, like, I can have a number and that works anywhere, and I don't have to turn it on, and I don't have to tell you I'm going overseas, and I don't have to. And then secondly, is I can have multiple numbers. In other words, if I have a business and a marketplace and a family and a whatever, and you can have multiple. So that's actually probably the hardest, is explaining we're different from the normal traditional local telecommunication company that you're already with. And by the way, you'll probably stay with them because you might have had your number for 5 or 10 or 20 years. So you'll stay with them. We're definitely the second option. In other words, you want a second number for your business or your marketplace or your pleasure, what it is. And then over time, you'll realize, well, why can I have this number that can work anywhere in the world? And then I have a number that can only work in one country.
And Google Voice was, you know, the sort of the first version of this. And I've had a whole bunch of Google Voice numbers, and my friends have gotten sick of deleting the voice numbers out of their phones, because if you don't use the number, Google deletes it very quickly. They just flush it. And so I'd come back and I'd need to get a new number because you have to be in country to register it. And it was a mess. But it did the job for my friends in that they could call locally. But what you're saying is, actually, no, we can do this everywhere.
Yeah, correct. And that's a really important one because a lot of people say, oh, I have Google needs or Google numbers, or I have WhatsApp, or I have whatever. But at the end of the day, it's not a phone number. It's not like you can arrive in Asia or Singapore and you have an accident and you can call the local hospital or the local doctor, whereas Zapme numbers are absolutely that. In other words, it's not a VoIP peer-to-peer system. It is 100% a phone number that you own globally. So it gives you that luxury of being able to make phone calls when you need them, not just, oh, I've got to make sure someone's on the other end at the same time and da, 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 et cetera.
Do you have to work through regulatory issues because you're connected to the telecoms network?
100%. Every country has its own regulation. In Australia, it's ACMA, and Singapore, it's AGRA, I think, and every single country has its
FCC
own
and
one.
so on and so
Yeah,
forth,
that's right.
yeah.
So we do. So what happens is in our application is built based on that. So we have a stringent set of rules, and then every country is built for that country. So if you happen to buy a number in Australia, you will go through that KYC that we have to be regulated with. If you buy a number in Sweden, we'll do that. If you buy a number in America, we do that. So we do. And every country has its own set of rules.
Okay, so that's a substantial bit of overload, right? That is required in order to be able to get things up and running across a lot of domains.
I think that's why no one's done it. It's when you think about it, and that was the pivotal moment when we come up with the idea was there is no global telco. They aggregate, they work together, but there's no global telco. There's not no way you can just sit here right now and buy a US number in 60 seconds and make a phone call like I'm in the US and operate locally while being global. So, that's our difference.
Well, and from my experience of working, for example, with SWIFT, which is the bank interchange network, which has to deal with the regulatory requirements of every one of the nations that it's operating in and enforce them, that made an organization that is incredibly big and bureaucratic, right, and slow as molasses. You seem to have done exactly the opposite. How is that possible? How can you be light and yet still be dealing with so many bureaucracies?
Yeah, well, I guess it's the aggregation side of things. It's making sure that, I mean, once you have the framework, when you have the framework, the framework's the framework. That took a long time. That took 2.5 years to work the framework out. From there, it's a plug and play. In other words, and a lot of people don't want to play in this space because it's very complicated, it's very hard. But we chose to be that different. So what we do is basically use our regulations and we plug it into our framework, and from there it sort of it accentuates out. And that's why we've been lucky, I guess, to be able to get this up and running. And we are on Google, we are on Android. You can download it now. Zapme.co is our website, so you can see that it's actually operational. So I'm not talking about an idea here. As soon as someone hears this podcast, they can literally download it and use it on phone. And actually, I had a friend the other day that I met in Singapore 2 weeks ago, and they used Zapme to download to get a US number to set up their Delaware company. And they did it, and they did it in like 2 minutes, and I think that's the difference.
I got to tell you, as someone who does need a permanent US number, and I do, I have a feeling that after this, I will probably be signing up for Zapme. All right. I have a question for you because you explained we'll call it normal part of the business, but there's a whole Web3 aspect of the business with tokens.
There
Do you want
is.
to talk about that?
Yeah, I do. It was really simple for us to move from a Web 2 to a Web 3 world. And it wasn't just because it's the buzzword at the moment. It was because we are global and we are borderless. Well, the only other thing that's global and borderless is blockchain and cryptocurrency. So we introduced payments with cryptocurrency for your phone and data plans. So you can pay for your phone and data plans, Web 2 world, with your Web 3 currency. So that was sort of the step into it. And then, of course, we went, well, wait a second, we want to create our own community and our own ecosystem. So we've created the Zap token. Again, zapme.co, you can go there and have a look. But the Zap token, which will then be embedded into our world of Zapme, which means you can use that globally as well, with discounts, rewards, and a whole bunch of other things. We've also extended the Zapme app, not from phone numbers and data, but we've moved into a social world as well. So we're creating, and it'll launch in the next couple of weeks, is a decentralized social community platform. So in the Web3 world, allowing you, if for want of a better word, it's like having Twitter, Telegram, and Twitter, Telegram, and Discord had a baby, and it's called Zapme, and that's what this is. So you can go in and have your own communities. You can do your own networks. You can have your own masterclasses. You can do a whole range of things in this social community. all decentralized, all in Web3. And again, the Zap token sits at the middle of that. So it actually is used in all the Web2 and Web3 ecosystem.
So I think you're almost starting to answer my next question, which is this is a classic B2C business. B2C businesses are expensive because of the marketing that's required. Are you expecting that the social aspects are going to be the accelerant to client adoption? Is that one reason why you've done them?
Yeah, we've combined it. I mean, I'll go again to back into the core idea of communication. The one thing we do every day is we phone, we video, we text, we message, we call, and we socialize in community. So we no matter what we do in Zapme, it'll all be about community and socialization together. But yes, we've done the social side because it is one thing that people do every day. So we're bringing that into it being under Zapme. But we also understand that you don't go and check, I don't know, Airbnb, Qantas. You don't go and check all these applications all the time. So we've created something that we made sure that the one thing you'll do every day is communicate, whether it's by phone, text, message, video, or social.
Have you taken investment to build the company? Are you seeing a lot of investment interest?
Yeah, we have. We did a seed round, so that's done and finished. And now we've actually, as of 4 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, moved into Series A. So we're in Series A right now. And it's exciting time. And we've decided to do that because we are live. We have four core pillars. We have our phone numbers, we have data, we have our social system, and we've also built out a B2B, meaning that you can download Zapme application onto your laptop. And we've coined it a telco on your laptop. So you can then issue phone numbers and data to your employees or to your work people or to whoever you like instantly from your laptop. So
All right, kick us.
they're the four pillars. So we're moving into Series A now because, yeah, that's the next step.
Take us through what Zapme looks like in 2 to 3 years.
I go on about the four pillars a lot, but there's a lot more pillars. They're the foundational pillars that I mentioned. And then off the back of that, we'll be moving into the super app idea. And the super app idea will be in regards to launching payment systems, custodial wallet systems, filing systems, key partners. So we're moving into a super app over time, but we're adding, but by core, it's communication. So we're always adding to it based on the value to the customer. So to where we're going to be in 2 or 3 years is an extension of those four pillars, as long as it provides our customers and users, I don't know, not to usability, but more importantly, what they're after, I guess. So we'll be listening to them.
Wow. So I might be talking to the father of the next WeChat. Scott, thank you so much for coming on to This Week in Startups Australia.
No, thank you very much for having me. Really appreciate it. It's great to get the word out there.
There's a specter haunting technology. It's the specter of the everything app. And because WeChat is such a success with an ecosystem of different companies, and Gojek in Indonesia is the same deal, we have a lot of people everywhere trying to create the everything app. And we know that this is what Elon Musk's grand strategy for X is going to be, that it's going to be the everything app with that social core. And we can see that Scott King is going to try to do exactly the same thing. I think in his case, as a small company trying to get big, there's a better chance than a big company really trying to do everything, because you're going to encounter a lot more resistance that way. So, can Scott grow? Because it's expensive to grow B2C if you're just marketing. But if you can grow it socially so that it happens organically, yes, you can, because that's what happened to WhatsApp. When WhatsApp was purchased for how many billions of dollars by Meta, they really only had a core of, I think, 30 or 40 employees, because the app had grown completely organically. So, if Scott can execute, then Zapme will clearly be the monster he sees it as. Thanks to Scott King of Zapme for joining us on this episode. We've got a decade of great stories from founders on our website at twistartupsaus.com. It's got everything. It's got all the shows, all the interviews, all the photos, and all the links to all the stories. So check it out at twistartupsaus.com. Next week, we'll be back with another startup from New Zealand. This one is rewriting the playbook for last mile communications. If you like the show, please follow us on your favorite podcasting app so you can stay up to date with everything that's happening in Australia's startup ecosystem. And if you're interested in becoming a sponsor for This Week in Startups Australia, please drop us a note via the website at twistartupsaus.com. Until next week, this is Mark Pesce, thanking you for listening.